I'm Tony Bruschi. Welcome. We hope you've enjoyed our coverage on the trial of Alec Murdaugh. This is a look back at some of the key moments and conversations that we've had over the last several weeks regarding the case.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage in the Alec Murdaugh trial. Forensic pathologist named Dr. Jonathan Eatonstadt took the stand and explained why he disagreed with the autopsy findings on the trajectory of the bullets that killed Paul. Dr. Eatonstadt's testimony was a crucial moment in the trial as he testified that Paul's shooter would have been covered in blood and brain material based on his findings. His testimony challenged the prosecution's case and added a new twist to the already complex trial. Take a listen.
Tell us where Dr. Reamer got it wrong.
Well, I think she has it reversed. And the reason being is, now that you've seen where all the pressure would go, if the entrance wound is here on the left shoulder, and we're saying that we're at least 3 to 4 feet away from there because we have no soot, we have no stippling on the skin, then by the time it gets to the left side of the chin or over here at the angle of the mandible, the jaw, we've lost a lot of energy. And so, yes, you can get some pellets still going up into the head, but you're not going to have the top of the head completely blown off. And if you look at the photograph here, you can see, you know, for all of us, it curves over and goes around because the top of our skull's there. If you look here, it goes flat. He's missing the top of his skull. That would not have happened from a 3 to 4 foot, 3 feet or further shotgun wound coming in on the left side.
And the wound on his shoulder, let's look at that real quick. Shoulder, please. That's a pretty big wound, is it not?
It is, and there's pellets that are going down into the tissue.
And what is the evidence of that?
Well, there's photographs that are taken looking down into the wound, and you can see pellets there, and there are x-rays that are taken that you can see there's pellets down into the left shoulder.
If you go to Defendant's Exhibit 162, okay, step down here, please.
Yes, sir. May I?
Your Honor, may you step down?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You stand over there with the pointer. Show the jury, please, the individual pellets.
Oh, well, this is probably the easiest one to see. Round and silver. I'm going to have to come around for a moment. I'm sorry. There's one here. There's one here. It's not projecting well, but I know that I saw a few down here, but then on x-ray, it'll become more apparent.
Okay, well, let me do this. Let's go ahead and put the x-ray up while we're talking about this, which would be... Which one of these you want to start on?
We can do this one since we're talking about it.
Hold on 1 second. Any objections? Your Honor, I would offer into evidence Defense Exhibit 112 and ask it be put under seal.
No objection.
I submit it.
All right. Tell us what exhibit you got. Do you have that? 112?
112.
Thank you. I know this is shocking, Your Honor. We have some technical issues here. This is, I don't know what happened to big post the boards. I just... Got it? No? Yes? No, this is 112. I mean, it's going to take some time. Let's just put it on the Elmo and go from there. We're interested in this area. And I'm going to have one more. Okay, tell the jury, please, what we're looking at here.
Sure. So any case that comes to a medical examiner's office that has any type of penetrating injury, the medical examiner will do x-rays to see if there's anything left in the body and then also for safety reasons. But what we're looking at here is this is the spine. These are the ribs. So we're looking at the chest, the left shoulder, because we're coming out here to the left arm, and all of these dots are the pellets from the shotgun wound. And what we can see here is that these pellets are coming down all the way. So this is the first rib right here. First rib is about right here. So we have pellets all the way down to this level.
Is that consistent or inconsistent with a shot being fired from his left, apparently going upward to
right.
the brain?
That wouldn't be consistent, and the reason being is then it would have to, the pellets would have to go up, curve, and come down, while the rest of them are continuing this way.
Okay. So could I have this one next?
Sure.
Okay. Defense Exhibit 111. I can do Elmo. Okay, this should be up on the screen now. Can you, we're talking about the lower right hand,
the left side of the body.
Left side of the body.
R stands for right, so the x-ray is being taken like this. Right side, and this is the left side.
Okay, so could you blow up the lower far right corner, please? There you go. Now, what does this depict?
So this is showing here on the left side of the jaw, and we see all of these pellets that are here. So the jaw is right here, and you can see these pellets are in the left side of the jaw, in the neck, and they're going down into the upper left chest.
So, and you believe the directionality on these is down?
Well, from the totality of the evidence, I believe, yes, they're downwards.
Okay. And,
But this x-ray has other findings, I think, that are important for that opinion.
Okay.
And, I mean, you can see the severity of the fractures. The skull should, actually I think it was better if we were back. The severity, the skull should obviously come all the way around, right? Mm-hmm. There's no skull here. That's probably the area where the shotgun was pressed against the head. And we've got all of these fractures. In medical terms, we call it multiple comminuted fractures. This is, I mean, textbook for a contact range shotgun wound to the head, to the top of the head, not down here.
And, okay, so in your opinion, if it had happened the way Dr. Reamer said, you would not have the directionality of those pellets in the shoulder down,
correct?
And you would not have that kind of devastation to the skull. It wouldn't be enough energy.
That's correct. You may have some what we call linear fractures, so little lines of fractures, but you wouldn't have the top of the skull completely gone.
So explain to me, not being a hunter, how does the gas, you got gas coming first, pellets coming second, right?
Yes, sir.
So how do you get the gas going in and the pellets continuing on?
Well, the pellets are projected by the gas causing pressure to push out the shot and then the pellets within it. So, think about a rocket that's going up into space, right? So you see all of the cloud underneath the rocket, and the rocket will continue going up, but the cloud goes out because that's the area of least resistance. But the rocket will still continue. So that's pretty much the same mechanism. The shot cup is going to be pushed out. The energy from all of that gas needs to go somewhere. And when it's being pressed up against a firm surface like a skull, that pressure is going to build up. It's going to go through the hole that's caused by the entrance wound, and it's got nowhere else to go. So it is, and of course this is all happening in milliseconds, but all of that gas is expanding the inside of the skull, and the least resistance is right here at that opening now. So it's going to cause that area to basically pop out.
And some of the pellets would go through, most of the pellets would go through?
Oh, the pellets will continue through. There may be, the brain is not here, right? And so there's probably pellets within the brain, but we don't have an x-ray of the brain.
They didn't x-ray the brain.
Correct.
So, and the skull, I mean the brain would leave the cavity? Or in this case, did it leave the cavity?
Yes, it did.
And under what kind of force?
I can't give you an exact, number. The forces are usually in what are called newtons, but it's the buildup of that pressure in the skull. It's even in that textbook. Brains being eviscerated in shotgun cases are from contact wounds.
So if you're the person holding the gun to the skull, does any of that energy go up the barrel of the gun?
Well, yes. Once that, like I said, it builds up in the head and then it comes back up. So that's what causes the brain to be pushed out. There's going to be pellets that will come out. There'll be other bodily fluids that will come out and will go up along. It'll basically be what we call back spatter or back motion.
But in a violent way?
Yes.
And the person holding that gun, would they be subject to being covered in that material?
Yes, they would.
In a very forceful way?
Yes.
Okay, so let me show you a couple other pictures. That's this photo, right?
That's that one.
Yeah, okay. Would you put Defense Exhibit 113, please? I believe this is an evidence. Okay. Tell us what that depicts.
So now we've moved over to the side, to the left, more of the left shoulder, and showing some of the left arm. And again, you see how the pellets are sort of dispersed and they're coming down. This is your shoulder blade, your scapula. And so it's even down to the level of the collarbone here and the shoulder blade.
Is that consistent with a shot coming up and across the shoulder and into the neck, or is it consistent with something coming down?
Well, again, with the totality of everything, this is absolutely going down.
That's the latest that we have for you right here. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of the breaking updates and court action as it comes down. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.